6-8. I've entitled this lesson, Everyone Who Finishes Wins. I ask you first to bow with me. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open up your word. Help us each to strive always to remember it, to live by it, to be motivated by it, to exemplify it in our world, that the name of Jesus would be glorified. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, we could... Am I hearing something? All right. Let's go to the races. You know, it could be many kind of races. It could be horse races. It could be car races. It could be swimming races. It could be bicycle races. It could be motocross. It could be track races. It could be a mile or 2 mile, whatever. It could be marathons. There are a lot of different kind of races, aren't there? There are even shows about races, like The Amazing Race or The Biggest Loser or Fear Factor or Survivor. And you add many more that's been added more recently. You know, some of the contests that we view are really races. You ever raced in a three-legged race? Most of us probably have. How about a watermelon eating contest? Probably. How about a pie eating contest? Or maybe a hot dog eating contest. The latest one that I got information on, and I looked online, but it didn't show the updated one, but in 2013, a man named Joey Chestnut set a new record. In 10 minutes, he downed 66 hot dogs. One of the runner-ups was a big ex-football player, weighed 420 pounds, and he got through about four before he gave up. I guess he was being beaten so bad. And a few years ago, there was a Japanese guy that was, he had won six of these by 2005. At that time, the world champion, which Sim, he ate 44. Well, that's nothing compared to 66, right? And these kind of things go on in our world all the time. We may laugh at them or enjoy them, but races are what we're all about as Christians. We're in a race. And, you know, in a normal race, we understand that only one person gets the prize, right? Which one is it? The one who wins. That's the one who gets the prize. The one who wins. You know, the prize could be a medal. It could be a check. It could be a ribbon. It could be a trophy. But we have to remember, we're in a race today. And it doesn't matter if you're sitting down, you're still in a race. And that race is to eternity and for eternity. And in this reality race, it's truly amazing. And we don't want to be the biggest loser, do we? But we want to be a survivor. And that's where the fear factor can come in. You know, there are many of these kind of shows on, but we can learn from that. We can be encouraged by it in certain ways. But we're all in this race. What are we going to do with it? Are we really in it? We'll look at that in a moment. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:6-8. The Apostle Paul said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is the race of a lifetime, isn't it? Paul said, I finished the race. Now, he hadn't technically fully finished it. He hadn't died yet, had he? But he was very close, and he knew he was going to die. And this race is living the Christian life and with such a determination, we might say gusto, that we will finish the course and we will receive the crown. Finally, Paul said, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Can you imagine when we first quit breathing in this body and we ascend and the first time we see Jesus? What would that be like? What would fill your mind? Would that be amazing? So there's several things. Number one, we have to enter the race, don't we? I mean, I'm never going to win a Boston Marathon. I've never even been to Boston. And to win it, I'd have to actually get in it. And to win, I'd have to be in shape. And to win, I'd have to be faster than anybody else, right? Well, that's kind of how it is with Christianity in a way. We have to enter it to get to win, don't we? Some have never entered. You know, I'm about as good, I guess, armchair quarterback as anybody. But I'm never going to wear one of those Super Bowl rings. Why? Well, I'm not playing in the Super Bowl. I never could play in one. Never will play in one, right? You have to enter. You have to be involved to win. You have to be in the race to win, don't you? We enter that race by surrendering our minds, our hearts to Christ, allowing him by our own free will to become our Lord, and by being baptized into him, having repented. That's how we entered the race. You know, in any race, you have to sign up for it. You may have to pay a fee, and you have to be on time to start, right? Well, we have to do what's necessary to reach that final culmination, that race that brings eternal life. It's worth noting, you know, in track, some of you are still involved in it, but I remember in certain races, you got on, you know, a kickoff start. You had these, you might call it a machine. You know, they got terms for it. But anyway, you get an extra boost for that kind of thing. Or it might be a long distance race, you're just standing there. But I never saw anybody win at the beginning, did you? They might say they won because they got a better boost, you know, as they took off. But they didn't win without crossing the finish line. It's not the start where we win. It's the end where we win. Assuming we've lived the life and we receive the crown of righteousness. You know, some people quit along the way. I know of no race that you can quit in and win. Do you? Never seen one of those. You can't win by quitting. It's not possible. Stuart Briscoe tells a true story about him teaching his kids to run and enjoy running. He said, I always enjoyed it when I was always out there in front and beating them, you know. But somewhere along the way, what happened is they started, you know, waking him up before the crack of dawn. Get out there and run in the crisp air, and he's beginning to wonder, what have I got myself into? They may have enjoyed the run, but he was beginning to wonder what had he done. He mentioned being in a certain race one time in which it was in Milwaukee, so you can imagine what some of the people wore. Well, one guy, you know, had a beer bottle on him. Another had a banana. Another had something else, and they were all joking, having fun, and he stepped to the line. Stuart Briscoe stepped up to the line. He looked around. There were 25,000 people in that line. 25,000. He said a quarter mile. The guy with the beer shirt and the banana shirt were leaning over a fence. At a mile, you know, it already began to thin out. At 2 miles, all you could hear was hard breathing. Eventually, as they stumble one by one over the finish line, it was quite different, right? I mean, the guys at the beginning, they may laugh and joke and shake hands with the crowd and wear funny shirts, but they're not going to win unless they finish. If we're going to win that race for eternity, we have to finish, don't we? We cannot quit along the way. So, number two, you have to have endurance. There's a long race, you know, the marathon. You need endurance for that. you had to stick with it. You know, in some of the races I used to run, you didn't necessarily want to be first when you started. Why? Because you might burn up too much energy. You had to have the energy to finish. Because if you're going to win, you had to finish. I've seen people off like a streak of lightning in some of those longer races in track who didn't finish, or certainly didn't finish with a win. We had to finish, don't we? And that's what Paul was talking about. But we had to have endurance. You know, baseball is a long-distance race. What, 162 games a year? One day you may be playing here, and 2 days later, 3,000 miles away in a doubleheader. That's how it goes. It's a long-distance thing. Certainly, the Christian life is much more long-distance than any of those, isn't it? And down the road, I've seen many quit. I've seen them quit because of health problems they thought God should have solved. I've seen them quit because of marital problems they thought God should have solved. I've seen them quit for 100 reasons or more. But you don't win the race by quitting. You cannot. You know, it's tiring to be in any kind of a race. In that particular example, in baseball, the pitchers may tear out their rotocuff. They may blow out an arm. Others may have a knee go out to the side or a hamstring pulled. All kinds of things happen. Paul, as we looked at this passage, is a winner. And he didn't quit. Along the way, he had that many stitches, I'm sure. I mean, if they stoned you to death, do you suppose you'd have any cuts and gashes? Since they bandaged him up, I'm sure they sewed him up too. Paul had many such things in his career. When they beat him with rods, almost to the point of death on numerous occasions. You had to have endurance. From Damascus, where he started out, to Rome, you had to have endurance. And number three, well, first, let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Paul said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become," well, one translation put it, "a castaway." I believe that was the old King James. New King James says, "become disqualified." We can become disqualified in a race, can't we? You know, in boxing, like in the Golden Gloves, they have a technical knockout, which I have done to other people, which is, in some way, they're not able to fight. They call that a technical knockout. They weren't literally knocked down on the floor and couldn't get up. But they were harmed in a fight in such a way they couldn't continue the fight. Well, there are many ways to be disqualified, aren't there? Now, those are human squabbles of different types. But we're talking about a spiritual, far more than a squabble. It's important to our life for eternity, isn't it? We're here to fight the good fight forever while we're in this body. We may wonder, why does God let us grow old? Why does God let us have problems? Well, we can't answer all those things, but think about this. When those early Christians became Christians, and then they had their eyes poked out or burned at the stake, like Polycarp, or many other terrible things that happened to them, did they quit? Well, there were certainly a few along the way that quit. But most did not quit. We must not quit either. We must continue whatever the struggle. God didn't remove the human struggles. These people had problems, and they had them after they became Christians. And for some of them, it meant death. Those problems were far worse than what we squabble with, right? Number three, well, let me say one or two things. Michael Jordan said, it's not about the great things you do along the way. It's about having something in you to finish. We have to have something in us to finish. Now, that was a human speaking mostly from a human perspective, but it's true. We have to finish the race. We have to have that in us. One of the things that will help us draw to that triumphant close, to keep that finish line in sight, you know, to see that ribbon across there and have it burst on our chest. In this case, it's eternity. It's eternity with God. Number three, you have to focus on the prize. You remember those 10-cent Cracker Jacks? Well, some of you weren't alive, right? Those Cracker Jack boxes, probably you bought them as often as you could. Why? Because there was that thing down on the bottom, a little prize. It wasn't really worth anything if you think about it. And the Cracker Jacks may have been stale, but you ate them anyway. But you did it for the prize. So we're in a much more important seeking for a prize than that, aren't we? So we don't want to quit. We want to keep our focus, the race, in the race, and for the prize that is ahead, which is eternity. Maybe you've even missed the point of the prize. This may shock you for a moment as you begin to think about it. Do you think the prize is going to be heaven? Well, certainly that'll be a part of the prize. But is that the prize? Let's think about that for a moment. But let's read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the prize we're actually looking for, people. Jesus. I kind of mentioned that earlier. What will it look like to see him look at you for the first time and to look at him? To see him open-armedly embrace you. What will that be like? What would you give for that? Well, what it requires is faithfulness to the point of death. Be thou faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, for us, the point of death is simply dying, usually. But whatever it takes, we have to get to death, and through it, faithful, right? Faithful to God. We must desire this prize to such a degree that we're willing to do whatever it takes to have that relationship with Jesus. Now, as we wrap up and think about that, everybody, all of us, regardless of age, can win this race. Now, I've never been in a race or any kind of competition there were more than three or four winners that I remember. Of course, you had the main winner, and then you had second place, third place, maybe a fourth place in some competitions. But in this case, every single person wins the crown of righteousness. And the crown of righteousness, you might say, is eternity with Jesus in heaven. You see, there are many interesting destinations we could go in this world, right? You know, you can go to Pikes Peak, or you can go to Kilimanjaro, or you can go to 1,000 other places. You can take a bus if you're in Switzerland, and you can go see where, you know, Hitler did certain things and built his jets that he never really got off the ground because war ended. You can see many interesting things in this world. Without Jesus, that's all you might say heaven would be, an interesting place to go to. But with Jesus, it's an eternity, right? With Jesus, it's forever with God. It's not just an interesting place, it's eternity with Him. I hope everyone here desires that place. And like all races, you have to start, though. We've already kind of mentioned this. You begin by bringing Christ into your life, and we've already mentioned that. In a little bit, we're going to sing an invitation song, but you have to allow Jesus in, and you have to obey Him. You have to do what He says to be a part of His church, because the church is what's going to send up to heaven, isn't it? Or be brought down to us, whichever way you want to look at it. Both ideas are there. You know, Archie Griffin was only 5'8", but in 1974 and 5, he won the Heisman. He weighed 180 pounds, and it was said it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Do we have the fight to finish? No matter what. No matter what the struggles, no matter what it takes, we have to finish. If you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll accept that idea. Another football player, Joe Namath, said, "If you're not going all the way, why go at all?" Now, he was truly a worldly man, but, or as I know, certainly looked like it. But what he said has great value if we take it. What about us? What will we do? If you're not a Christian, you have to start the race to win it. So we call upon you to start that race. Or if you in some other way need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing?